What's the fastest ball sport in the world? Not baseball, not tennis. It is, in fact, the sport of Jailai, spelled J-A-I-A-L-A-I. Originating in the Basque region of Spain and played professionally in the U.S., most notably in the 1980s, Jailai's making an unprecedented comeback. The ball reaches speeds of 150 miles an hour. The action is intense and the danger factor is high. Six-person teams of professional athletes play the sport at the Magic City Fronton in Miami, Florida. I invite you to check out all the action Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m. and Friday night at 7 p.m. Go to HighlieWorld.com or download the free Jailai app in the App Store. This sport, with its intensity and athleticism, is well worth watching. Check out all the action at HighlieWorld.com. Matches are played similar to tennis, with a player or team required to win two sets to win a match. Each set is played up to 6 points. It's a sport you need to check out. HighlieWorld.com, Monday and Tuesday at 5 p.m., Friday at 7 p.m.
Hey!
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
God! Number 62!
Case closed!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Is he able to grip the football now?
No, not well enough to play.
I'm not saying Dak loses his gig. I'm saying, what is the rush?
Today's guests, from CBS's East New York, actor Jimmy Smits, comedian and actor Mo Ammer, ESPN MLB insider Jeff Passan, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Ah, yes, welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here on a Wednesday, right in the middle of the first full week of October 2022. We're live on the Roku channel, so we say hello to everybody that is watching us for free on the Roku channel, available on all Roku devices, available on all Samsung Smart TVs and Amazon Fire TVs, and the Roku app. You can get that for free, and then you can get the Roku channel for free on that. And then there's the RokuChannel.com for those watching on desktop, laptops, however you want to. And then if you're listening to this program, well, your ears are in luck. We've got an ability to be heard on terrestrial radio, the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate coast to coast, that powered by Westwood One, which also has the Cumulus Podcast Network for anybody who wants to consume this on our podcast all 3 hours. There's the Odyssey app. There's Sirius XM, Sirius 218, XM 202. The app is $9.92. And then for whatever you may miss, the Roku channel 210 that we're on re-airs the show over and over and over again, 24/7. In other words, you have no excuse. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. What's going on,
what's
brother?
What's up, Rich? Not much, man.
DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts.
Morning,
Mike
Rich.
Del Tufo, New Jersey's finest. Good
case,
to see you over
case
there.
Case open.
Good to see you over there. Case open. Very good on this program. TJ Jefferson, lighting the candle. Lighting the candle. Sound the Timmy trumpets. What's going on over there, brother? How are you?
Well, I mean, it's Wednesday. You know what that means.
No.
We're having a good show today.
Oh,
yeah,
sure.
Wednesday's where you wear pink, I thought.
Yeah, well, I mean, it might be on some parts that I can't show.
Jeez.
Whoa.
Today.
Whoa.
You know.
Well, wow. You know what? I'm very excited because it's very rare that I stroll back before the show begins and see an in-studio guest that's going to join us right in the middle of hour number one. That's
How about that?
It's great.
Oof, I like that.
You know, words that I'm so excited to be saying. There's so many different ways to say it. Victor Cifuentes is here. Bobby Simone is here. Wait, Matthew Santos is here. Senator Organa is here. And for those, yes, because we are that running scared fans, Julio Gonzalez is here.
Yes.
Jimmy Smits is here. He's in our green room right now.
How about that?
Come on now.
Legend in the game.
Woo.
Absolute legend. No doubt about
From
it.
From East New York, which is, you know, somewhat ironic because that's the name of his new show. CBS's East New York. He's back in a
police
program. And William Finkelstein, who was an executive producer and writer on NYPD Blue, is the executive producer of this show. Come on now. So it's basically giving the people what they want. And and Jimmy Smits is here. And guess what? We can talk about with him. Aaron Judge. Yeah. You know, because he's from East New York and cares about that sort of stuff. I love it. I love it. Also on the show, Mo Ammer, the comedian. He's stopping by in hour number three. And Jeff Passan will be here. On the phone, calling in from Arlington, Texas, where home run number 62 left the yard.
Yeah.
And the back end of a doubleheader.
Finally.
On the back end of a doubleheader, Aaron Judge leading off game number two.
And I strolled right into the living room with the TV on, Coop already had it on, and just in time to watch it fly. And it was glorious. Kids running in the room, jumping up and down, celebrating a moment that they've never seen before. And it was Aaron Judge with the big fly, 62 home runs, a new, yes, American League record, which is the way it's being said, and we'll get to that in a minute. But just watching it happen and seeing it leave the yard and then watching his teammates all greet him at home plate like it was a walk-off. And it was, you know, technically a regular season walk-off. He did have another at-bat. I proffer to say the next time you see him will be in the divisional round. That'll wrap it up for Aaron Judge because he did get home run number 62. And, you know, the place went nuts. It was the largest crowd at the new stadium in Arlington of the year. And it was just great. Unbelievably, Gerrit Cole in that game also surpassed Ron Guidry for the most single-season strikeouts in the history of the New York Yankees. And Guidry, in those 70s Yankees, that's how I fell in love with the sport. I fell in love with baseball growing up in Staten Island, New York, watching Catfish Hunter and the 76 Yankees get swept by the big red machine, but then Thurman and Nettles and the rest of that team got some help in 77 with the straw that stirs the drink, Reggie Jackson coming and beating the Dodgers, hitting three home runs in the World Series sealing game 6 of the 77 World Series. That was it. Chris Chambliss homering for the Yankees to get into the playoffs in 76, and then the 77 World Series, 78, which is when Guidry had that remarkable Cy Young season. And Goose Gossage came along. I just fell in love with the sport, and it all just came pouring out of me last night. That's generational stuff, kids around. It meant so much to me. Really, really did. And Aaron Judge, after the game, talked about how much it means to him to see the outpouring, not just of his teammates onto the field, out of the dugout, being around him, but just the entire league. As we all know, ESPN has been breaking into live programming for damn near a week and a half, waiting for home run 61 and then 62. Just seeing the respect that he has earned, this 30-year-old kid out of Fresno, California, what he has become and what he is to the sport and his peers.
It's incredible. You know, I think that's one of the biggest honors is any compliment from your peers. You know, the guys that are out there grinding just like you are on a daily basis, they know how hard this game is. They know how hard it is to show up and post every single night. You know, so to hear or for them to tweet things out, say things like that, there's no higher honor, you know, in my book. You know, that's what it's always been about for me is my teammates and even my peers, and you know, the respect I have for other players around the league, you know, to get that, you know, same respect back, that's, you know, it gives you chills, to be honest.
I mean, everybody's throwing 100 miles an hour or spinning sliders out of the zone and split fingers that move all over the place and sinkers and sliders and all of this stuff that you see now at the top of your screen back in 1976, 77, 78 when I fell in love with the sport. You had no idea about pitch counts and spin rates and all that sort of business and exit velocities. But in that era, he's come this close to winning a triple crown. One of the greatest offensive seasons ever. And he did it in a season where he was betting on himself. He turned down the long-term contract, said, not enough. I know you're made of money. I know, Hal Steinbrenner, there's some trust fund your dad left you somewhere. I should get a piece of that. I mean, whatever. Honestly, he bet on himself. And as I've said multiple times, that normally eats a New York athlete alive. And their 24/7, 365, long-time listener, first-time caller community spits that player out. Not this guy. Not this guy. And he does it the right way, my gosh, with that smile. And he's just so accessible to people, it feels. And two things. One, Yankees, pay him all the money. All of it. I don't care. Go lay away to pay for Stanton from here on out if that's what you got to do. And I don't care. Oh, that contract's going to stink when he's 38. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. Everyone said that about Pujols' contract until it did turn actually into the contract you didn't want. And now look at him hitting home run 703. What a time to be a baseball fan, Ohtani and Pujols and now Judge.
All right.
I don't care what this contract's going to look like in 2029, 2020, in 2031. I don't care. And then number two, let me talk about this too. To everyone out there who was just like, thank God it was gone because those Vanderbilt football games getting interrupted by the update, watching Aaron Judge ground out. Your life has been so disrupted. Oh my gosh. How in the world am I going to be able to watch that ACC third quarter uninterrupted without Aaron Judge popping out to right or walking on four pitches? Oh my God, I'm so sorry that your life has been completely disrupted. Guess what? If you don't like it, you're not going to like what I'm about to say either. It's a Yankee. You won't like that. It's the truth. It's the truth.
Matters a little bit more.
It sure does. There's a lot of Yankee fans out there, and the Yankees have an incredible amount of history. If it was a Red Sox, they'd be doing the same damn thing.
Probably.
If this was Big Poppy, are you kidding me if Big Poppy was going for 62?
Or if it was Mookie, a
name
Dodger.
It. Yeah, name it. Sure. Name it. Name it. Name it. But that aside, and everyone's, I see a lot of friends of mine even on Twitter making fun of the fact that Michael Kay, whose voice you're hearing quite a bit of, and John Sterling, who does the radio call, and we'll play those calls for you later, saying it's the American League record. American League record. Like we're now celebrating records of just a league or a conference, if you want to cross sports with terminology to make a point. The reason why they're saying American League is because there is an all-time record that stands, and there are others, three players, as a matter of fact, who have hit more home runs in a single season than the 62 that we just saw Judge reach last night. And we know their names because we were all jacked up when these guys hit those home runs and were jacking them out at an incredible rate. Sosa, McGuire, and Bonds. In 98, specifically 2001 for Bonds. And I was on the SportsCenter set for all of them. I even addressed this when Judge hit 61 last week, and I'll repeat it here. I am conflicted. I am conflicted because I was sitting on the set treating those moments like I've been treating Judge. And I had a personal relationship with McGuire, and I loved him, and I still love him to this day, although I haven't spoken to him in quite some time because of everything that has gone on, I would assume. But the reason why we're saying American League is because, yes, there are other guys who have hit more, and they were National League. Interesting if one of those guys had done in the American League what it would be called now, and what it would be called now is what you can insert. Take out American League. This is the verbiage that's being used to parse it out, but you can take out the word American League out of the words American League record and insert the word clean. That's what's being communicated. Is Judge clean? According to Major League Baseball, he is. Was McGuire and Sosa and Bonds clean at the time that they were doing it? According to Major League Baseball, yes, they were. Judge looks the same way that he did when he first came into baseball. When I saw him, I'm like, wow, this guy is a cartoon. Honestly, my first thought was like, he can't be legal looking like that. And then he jacks 52 home runs, and I'm like, okay. He even got Brockman to sing songs and put on a Yankee uniform in a video for this program that he posted last night.
5 years ago.
Yep.
Fun stuff.
I hit that with a retweet.
Terrible singing on my
yeah, but it doesn't matter. But, you know, you get caught up in it.
Yeah, it was cool.
Because you want to believe. You want to believe. And So, yeah, that's the language being used. American League record. What are the what else you want him to say? Clean record. Yeah. Aaron Judge, first clean player to hit 62. Even though the other guys were supposedly clean at the time, but we all saw, we all sensed, we all were wondering, we were always wondering what was up. And then McGuire was found with that Andro can or canister in his locker, and then all sorts of things began to, as we know, unravel. And here we are today. This is why it's being celebrated by many. One, because it's neat to see. Two, we didn't think we'd see it again because we haven't seen it ever since the sport said it was cleaning itself up and seems to have. Three, he is a New York player and he's a Yankee and he broke two Yankee records. He passed Ruth and he passed Maris. And he's clean. So if you want to walk through the front door and you don't like hearing American League record making fun of it, then call it what it is. In my estimation, clean. Clean record. He's your clean all-time home run single season champion, Aaron Judge. But that does dwell on the negative. It's an ugly history. But one that I believe is being brought back into play here because so many people do believe and did follow and were interested in Judge, even though it was just an American League record, because the American League is a synonym in this case for the word clean. What say you? 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. Jeff Passan has a very interesting take on this, I would think. I saw his tweet last night, him saying that Judge has the American League record and Bonds has the all-time record, and there's nothing else to discuss. Well, I will do my best to open that up for discussion when he joins us, top of hour number two.
Ask you a serious question. If Aaron Judge wasn't a Yankee, let's say he played for the Mariners, would you still feel this strongly, or are you feeling a little strongly because he's your guy?
I feel strongly about it, about clean or not, regardless of who he plays for. But in terms of being emotionally tied to it,
well,
and having it drum up why I fell in love with the sport in the first place,
and
a guy who I root for and who makes me and my children happy, yeah, that means more. Like the SEC football, you know, like SEC football. It just means more. And again, I'm sorry
we're
that,
Big Ten
I'm
country
sorry
here,
that
Rich.
All the ESPN viewers got disturbed, you know, three times in a 2.5 hour span or four times in a 3 hour span.
So weak.
What else were they watching?
I'm so sorry that you watched them ground out over and over. I'm so sorry that just, you know, ground your gears. But it's over. Case closed.
That was almost too perfect.
Mo Ammer, the comedian, in hour number three in studio. But let's take a break. Let's take a break and bring Jimmy Smits out here.
Come on now. Let's do it.
Come on. It's Jimmy Smits in the morning.
Yeah. Here in LA. Stone from Switch. Let's
go. But in East New York, it's the afternoon. Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners, condo, or renters coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save. Back here on our terrestrial radio network, Jimmy Smits is here. We just saw a clip of East New York on CBS, and just again, you're back. Oh, there's Richard Kind right there in the middle.
Oh yeah,
right
Richard
there.
Kind.
Richard Kind. Okay.
Ruben Santiago Hudson.
Yeah, you're back in New York City. Yeah, you're back in New York City. Him, I guess it's a different role than Spin City from him right there. I would say from his last time in New York.
Great job.
Yeah, no question about it. So you're from East New York originally. So this is like full circle for you, huh? Pretty much.
I can't tell you on a day-to-day basis when we're out there actually shooting.
Yeah.
And we shoot all around Brooklyn, but when we do shoot in East New York, some of the set piece sequences that we've done have been on streets that I, trampled on as a teenager. We were shooting in a church lot the other day that my sister did her first communion and got married in, and
get
it was
out
like
here.
It's. So I'm just flushed with memories, and the cast is probably tired of me already. Going, that's the high school I went to. That's where I saw Al Sharpton first speak when he was a kid. the silly thing.
That is so great. So, but at least you bring that to the role, and that's pretty cool. So, and I was talking with you about it a little bit in the back here. So, East New York. Is that a Met or a Yankee area? What is that?
Well, you see, it's East New York, so it's the easternmost part of Brooklyn.
Yes.
So it's close to the Queens border. So there are a lot of Met fans. But I'm like Yankee. We lived all around New York. I did my Wonder Years in Brooklyn, mm-hmm. My junior high school and high school, college. Mm-hmm. But growing up, we lived in the Bronx for a good while. And my dad... he knew the Pepitone family, which Joe Pepitone was the first baseman on.
In some of the Yankee teams before, the 70s years I was just talking about, he was right around that time. So did you grow up in the old Yankee Stadium?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Stadium? Going to Yankee Stadium and just following 7 Mickey Mantle, 9 Roger Maris.
Yeah.
Yankee.
What do you think of Judge hitting 62? What do you think of that?
I mean,
what does that mean to you, Jimmy Smith?
It's just about the person that he is.
Yes.
And you talk about DNA in the storybook of the Yankees, mm-hmm. That he has that same kind of being a wonderful athlete, but at the same time knowing what team is all about.
And,
I mean, the same thing that Jeter had. And
he does have a very Jeter-like quality to him as well, where you're an A-list star in New York. You never hear a bad word about him. He never winds up on the wrong side of the newspaper. You know, he does have a Jeter-like quality to him.
I know, absolutely. And it was just, wow, it wasn't crazy. I was on a plane coming here to see you. and my family was like, yo, it's happening. It happened. Turn the TV on in the plane. I'm like, no, I'm on the wrong airlines. They don't have it.
They didn't have the feed, huh?
So I was watching. I watched clips.
Gosh.
But it was to think that, people would like walking him, like Boston didn't want to really give him any juice.
But the beautiful thing about him is he didn't change his approach the entire time.
Absolutely.
He didn't go in the toilet. He didn't go like 2 for 30. He was walking. He was scoring. He was doing what he needed to do.
Walking, scoring, right. Being a team player.
Exactly,
right.
Jimmy. Exactly. And
love it.
Yes, me too. Jimmy Smits is here from East New York, again on CBS, available to stream live and on demand on Paramount Plus. It premiered this past Sunday, and we just saw a clip of the show, and I'm such a fan of yours and NYPD Blue from back in the day. I noticed, because again, it's the executive producers, there's some DNA from NYPD Blue, Billy Finkelstein.
William Finkelstein,
right.
who started out on L.A. Law, sent a spec script to Bochco and started out on L.A. Law.
Right.
And worked on Blue after that.
Yeah.
And Michael Robin, who also started out as working on post-production as an intern and then worked his way up through the Bochco ranks. It's in there. So there was a trust, besides the whole East New York thing.
Right.
There was a trust that a shorthand that we have, they have a young creator named Michael Flynn, who is just... bringing his A game, and has also worked with David Kelly, who has that kind of same, the same DNA about the words on the page.
Right.
And how you can do in the in the framework of what network TV is, you know, you're doing a police procedural, but that character is important. So
of course, you know, and you're naming old people from, like, I guess, the Stephen Botchko tree,
yeah,
you know, with
David
E. Kelly and the other names that you mentioned. But I picked up on that clip, not just your acting and what was being said, but the telephones in the background. Like, that's,
oh, yeah,
that's like old school NYPD blue,
yeah, yeah,
because it's a,
yeah,
working,
yeah,
it's a working police department.
Right.
Like, it's the,
right,
real deal of what you're portraying to everybody on camera. So when you started doing this, did you have flashbacks to the blue days when you were NYPD blue days?
On this particular,
yes,
show?
On this particular,
oh, yeah,
show?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's so different for me because I'm in uniform now,
right,
and the guy is like, the guy's vibe is totally like a rock, a pillar.
Mm-hmm.
I play a borough commander of Brooklyn,
mm-hmm,
who is tasked with picking a young deputy inspector, played by Amanda Warren,
mm-hmm,
to be in charge of this particular precinct,
mm-hmm,
in East New York. And she wants to kind of like institute all of these new ways of how to deal with law enforcement, and about my character giving her the space to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part of the dynamic of what we're going to be doing on a week to week. And that character is, you know, at the forefront.
And so is it true, just going a little bit back in the day here with you, Jimmy, and then I've got a celebrity true or false with you. Is it true that you originally for NYPD Blue had a character that you turned down a role for? Is that true? And that character turned into the Caruso character who you wound up eventually replacing? Or is that true,
yeah,
or false?
Kind of, sort of. I mean, I was working on Law, and I had finished my commitment,
mm-hmm,
but I had a wonderful affinity with Stephen Botchko. He did so much for me in terms of
your career
stuff, and he. I did get to see the pilot script of NYPD Blue, and
before
the character was written for Kelly,
okay,
who was this Irish American guy, and I don't know if we can make that.
So he offered you the role of John Kelly.
Oh,
or,
man,
or,
come on, we're not supposed to do this.
Okay.
Kiss,
right,
and no kiss and tell.
Okay.
let me just say that it came back to me.
It came back to you.
It came back.
All right.
It was wonderful the way it happened.
Okay, for in Detective Bobby Simone. But you did get to see an actual script of NYPD Blue before it launched.
Oh,
that's,
yeah, no,
cool.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, yeah, then, yeah, let's get to some other things, and you can tell me whether they're true or false. Here we go. It's Jimmy Smith's Celebrity True or False. Roll our incredible animation.
Celebrity True or False.
You can't handle the truth.
Okay, here we go. There you go. That's our production value, Jimmy Smits. First one up for you, Celebrity True or False. True or False, you had a brief stint as a cabbie in New York before getting regular work on soap operas. Is that true or false?
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but these are like qualified things.
You didn't have a hack license?
No. I did a couple of stints. Yeah.
Just driving? Just trying, yeah, to make, yeah, ends meet, is,
yeah,
what you're saying?
Absolutely.
And then how'd you get on a soap?
Well,
your first
The whole thing with soaps was, it's kind of, while I was doing theater off Broadway,
yeah,
you kind of like did soaps if you could to date players on a soap to really,
uh-huh,
support yourself, because you don't make a lot off Broadway.
But how'd you get discovered? Just off Broadway? Is that what it was?
Just started doing theater, a lot of theater work, and working regional theater, and that was the whole thing. Theater,
okay.
And then little parts on soap. And then my first TV job was on the pilot of Miami Vice.
You didn't last very long, right?
I didn't last long at all. 5 minutes and I'm out. But I knew going in that's what it was going to be.
That's what it was going to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Were you the first guy that got off of Miami Vice in the history of Miami Vice?
Oh,
were you,
man,
the first one?
No,
Jimmy Smits?
Yeah, yeah. Actually, yeah, yeah. The character was,
yes,
Don Johnson's partner, original partner before.
Right.
So it set the story in motion that he passed with. So I knew going in that it was one and out. It wasn't like I was going to come back on, with Phil Collins videos. Talking to Don Johnson in his ear. No, but it was good being there during that time because, you know, I was a young actor doing a lot of theater and just seeing the dynamic of what Michael Mann wanted to do with that show and how that show changed the dynamic of
sure
how
did.
Music and story can be
Sure did. And then you eventually hooked up with a guy who totally changed television as well, and Stephen Bochco. True or false, you did not perform well in your first L.A. Law audition in New York, so you flew to L.A., got a second audition, and nailed it. Is that a true story?
That's, like, super true.
What happened?
I had an audition in New York, and they cut. But it was one. It was a network audition. They was trying to weed people out, basically. So they kind of put all this legal dialogue in front. I just did terribly. And a friend of mine that I went to school with said, "You didn't really see the people involved, and so come over here." And I took one of those 99. At that time, it was People Express.
People Express, where you had to pay for your flight halfway over the country. Like, what, they're going to give you a parachute if you didn't pay for it?
100%.
I remember People's Express.
People Express, and I took it.
Yes, I remember that.
And I had an audition with Stephen Bochco and Greg Hoblit, who directed the pilot. And I had done some work with on a movie that Peter Hyams directed, and Peter and Stephen knew each other. So the audition went well, but you know, I got a little confirmation from the outside
Is that where you first met Stephen Bochco? At that audition?
I walked in, and Steve used to have all these sports paraphernalia. Mm-hmm. So he had, when I walked into the audition, he had these baseball bats, and he was swinging the bat. He was like, "So if you don't do good on this, this is what's going to happen."
It's like the Untouchables. You know, I thought you said he had Emmys. He had those too all over.
He had a lot of them.
I think he had how much did we determine he got in his first night for Hill Street? Was it 14? Unbelievable.
It was
okay.
God bless him.
Why do you think LA Law worked so well? What do you think, Jimmy?
I mean, I, of course, it's all, for me, good television is all about the writing, what's on the page. But I think the fact that it was the ensemble, the way the ensemble was cooking, we were like running on all cylinders, and it just showed the legal system in a different kind of way that it hadn't been seen before, with all its blemishes. And
sure, of course. Well, I mean, it's Los Angeles. Next one for you, Jimmy Smits. True or false? Your West Wing character, Matthew Santos, was loosely based on Barack Obama, even though he wasn't even a U.S. senator at the time. Is that true or false?
That's true.
So somebody had already discovered who he was and decided
he was doing a lot of great work in Chicago.
Right.
And, yeah.
Really? I did not know that about your character.
It was during, just before he had made the decision to run. But it was, again, it's a compilation of a lot of different people.
Who else was involved in that?
Who else was involved
in your compilation of Matthew Santos?
Who else? Javier Becerra.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Who's currently now in the, he's now in the cabinet right now.
On the cabinet.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you meet any of these folks?
Yeah, absolutely.
You met Obama?
Yeah.
It's okay.
I did. I remember being in Chicago with him. We were at federal employees speaking engagement thing, and we were backstage, and he was contemplating, he hadn't made the choice yet, and we had a brief conversation about is my family going to be up to the rigors of what this is going to take
of running,
because it's not just
it's hard. So, were you the one who convinced him to run?
Go for it, Barack. Go for it.
And look at him now,
Jimmy. Yes, sir.
And look at him now.
You owe me.
Next one, true or false, you used a snippet of yourself singing doo-wop on NYPD Blue to land your In the Heights role. Is that true or false?
Oh, wow. Well, wait a minute. How do you know that?
I don't know. These are all...
Somebody ratted me out there.
I don't know. I don't know.
I did. We did a compilation of little,
sending that on to Lin-Manuel Miranda or just
and John Chu, the director of who did a wonderful job. But I had known Lin before, and we knew that it wasn't the role. One of the reasons why I went on this audition for this film, was because we knew that this particular character wasn't going to be doing heavy lifting. Vocally, he wasn't. He wasn't going to be doing arias and stuff. So they just wanted to know that I could blow a couple of notes.
Yeah. You just said, hey, look, I'm no Leslie Odom, but I can still do this. Exactly. Basically what you're saying.
I used to sing on the corner in East New York and harmonize with the fellas.
You know, do the persuasions thing.
And you used the snippet from NYPD Blue.
It was one. We did a compilation of little. Yeah.
Okay. Fantastic. Well, it worked out for sure.
You got to ask Lynn if they actually got that. I think they did.
Okay, good. Well, obviously. Last one for you. I'm fascinated by this to see if it's true or false. Jimmy Smits. True or false, you once sang karaoke with Gregory Peck and Sidney Poitier. Is that true or false?
Oh, my God. You're making me sweat.
Why am I making you sweat?
No, because, like, you didn't get that from me. I don't know where you got that from.
What is it? It's called the internet, right? I mean, is that true or false?
Google.
That's true.
Where the hell did that happen?
But I wasn't singing. They were singing.
How does one sing karaoke bash with them?
I had the good fortune to be able to work with Mr. Peck. On a film with Jane Fonda right after L.A. Law. And, I just get flushed with memories just thinking about
sure.
it. And then my wife and I would get phone calls like, could you come over we're having a couple of friends over for dinner on the weekend, if you can come over.
From
his wife Veronique, who was from France, and just had this little.
So your phone would even lift up the phone. It would be Gregory Peck.
Yeah.
He called you Jim.
Come over for the weekend. We're gonna have a few friends over, and that was the time when the Brat Pack was like, a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that because I'll get to that. So sure. I went to Greg's house, and then all of a sudden, and I don't want to start doing a name drop thing, but
you could,
Hollywood.
This is Los Angeles.
All Hollywood was walking in that door, like Walter Matthau, Q, Sidney. And my wife and I looked at each other like, F the Brat Pack. This is the deal right here. And to just see them, interact with each other and the humility and friendship that they had, the importance of knowing, we talk about platform and your brand and all that stuff now, but knowing that you have a responsibility not only to entertain but to enlighten, this was like part of these people's DNA.
Of course. And I assume Q, you mean Quincy Jones,
yes,
right?
Sir. Yes, sir.
So you sang.
I didn't sing. I watched them sing. All of a sudden, after dinner and stuff like that, and a couple of drinks and stuff, they bring out the little, at that time it was a little, that little, it looks like a Fender, like an old Fender thing.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
With the microphone attached. Yeah. And they were singing.
And then you watched this karaoke go down.
I watched it go down.
That is amazing. I would love. Sidney Poitier singing a karaoke with Quincy Jones. Did Quincy's like the
Sidney kind of hummed.
He hummed. Okay. Oh man, outstanding! I didn't mean to make you sweat. These are all your stories are just amazing, Jimmy. Last one as well. I mean, what a blessing to be involved in the Star Wars world as well. Because I've got I've got a 14, an 11, and a 9. They would know you as the senator. You know what I mean? Because I haven't introduced them to NYPD Blue and East New York might wind up at some point, but they would know you. How did you get involved in the Star Wars world, Jimmy Smits?
My agent told me that Mr. Lucas wanted to have a conversation, and we had a phone call, and he said, first of all, I just want to tell you, a lightsaber is not part of this conversation.
Is that what he said to you?
Yeah.
That was the opener?
Wow. We're not talking about lightsabers, okay? We're not talking about sabers.
Did that disappoint you a little bit? A little bit deep down?
A
little bit?
Yeah. I got a little too tired.
What do you mean I can't have a lightsaber?
Come on.
No, but he was talking about how he liked the work that he had seen, and he realized that that the franchise, well, he didn't call it a franchise, but that the world needed to have more of a diversity, and he promised that he would have me do a little bit of everything. And he lived up to that.
He sure did. And then, because again, now there's the TV version with Obi-Wan. You did that as well, which was dynamite. I saw that.
It's become a thing now, right? Now
it sure has. Yeah. And now, do you have any more plans to do any more of that
stuff? Can't talk about it. I got to kill you.
Yeah, we're, I guess we're outside of the true-false construct now. So you
no, there's a whole thing about like origin stories, and all these characters get origin stories now. Right. So that's, I don't know.
Okay.
We'll see.
Well, I'd love it.
Thank
you. You're awesome, Jimmy Smits.
Oh, Richie, come on, man.
It's the truth.
Thank you. You're awesome.
It's the truth.
Run, Rich, run!
I appreciate that you say that.
I love what you do, man, with that.
Thank you, Jimmy.
God bless you.
It is a blessing to have the opportunity to do that. I give credit to my wife and some folks at the NFL coming up with the idea. So it's great, man.
But that's what it's all about. I mean, you know, we love doing what we do, and how do you take that to the next level?
And give back and make sure that you
everybody
know,
doing a little bit.
That's it. Whatever my nonsense that I'm doing running in my suit, if we can raise money for kids, I'd love to do it.
I got to clock you, man. What's that?
No, you don't. by the way, that's false. You could
do all right.
You could clock me with a sundial, brother. That is for sure. No question about that. Jimmy Smits, check him out in CBS's East New York, which is at 9 p.m. Sunday nights on CBS. It just premiered this past Sunday. You could stream it live and on demand on Paramount Plus every single Sunday night at 9 Eastern time. And Paramount Plus available right here on Roku as well. Thanks for coming in, Jimmy.
Thank you.
Jimmy Smits here on the Rich Eisen Show. We are back with your phone calls and so much more in a moment.
62!
When you open up a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van, you're opening up more than just doors. You're unlocking potential, the potential to do your own thing, be your own boss, steer your own success, and blaze your own trail. Each and every Sprinter van is built, designed, and equipped to let you hit the open road and take on any goal you set to help you follow your own passions, reawaken that spirit of adventure, and check all those big, bold, fun, and exciting experiences off your bucket list. Owning a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van lets you live, work, and play out your dreams, no matter how far off the beaten path they'll take you. And with 16 body types, your choice of a gas or diesel engine, and thousands of ways to customize, the Sprinter van is capable and versatile enough to help you drive your ambitions wherever you want to take them. So now's the time to discover what it is that moves you most. Don't wait. Unlock your potential inside a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter.
Sprinter van does all that?
Yes, it does. How delightful is Jimmy Smits
in
person?
That was amazing.
Smits in the morning.
So
amazing.
A little dose of Smits to go with your coffee. Good. You know
Big
what I mean?
Big fan of that Love guy, it. Man.
Love yeah. It. He didn't want to talk about himself. Like, I literally could see, like, mm-hmm. he had stories to tell, but he didn't want to come across as sounding like he's such an egotist.
But, hey, that
he's checking
Jimmy
himself.
Had to give us what we wanted.
That's what we want.
Jimmy
I
Smits.
Want those stories.
I know. I want those stories that Gregory Peck's Jim
stories.
Come over to a dinner party, and then Quincy Jones and Sidney Poitier walk in the door, and then like, old what? Hollywood and Walter Matthau, and they're singing karaoke.
Yeah, put the Brat Pack
me?
In his place.
I mean.
The Brat Pack. Take that, Brat Pack.
Right. Pretty good.
Quincy Jones.
Although he like was a... doing Running Scared when the Brat Pack was killing it, right? And it is interesting enough, like you almost didn't get a photograph with him because Del Tufa was too busy fanboying him over Running Scared.
I mean, that was
and then I'll be honest. Listen, I adore you, you know, with every fiber of my being, and that is another version of With All Due Respect.
Yes, I know.
Okay,
for me, Rich, I get that.
But you know, when it's time for the guest to leave. Again, this is the whole goodbye thing we had yesterday. Like sometimes you've got
really
to let people
today.
Say goodbye. Like
it
they
really
might not want.
Yeah.
To continue and to linger, but he was so sweet, he didn't give that vibe off. I was just sensing, you know, I knew that we had to come back live. I knew he wanted a photograph. Yeah. I saw you physically angling, you know what I mean? Like, I saw that. So you've been fine without it, you know what I mean?
I wasn't going to get one, too. I brought up this movie, Switch, that he did, and he looked at me and laughed about Switch, and he was just like, that movie. And so I was like, all right, I got to get
it. Then you got a picture.
Yeah.
But, Mike, you tell him about you used to drive Jill Eikenberry around.
LA
I mean, that
8 years together.
I get it.
It's a long time, you know?
I know, you're dropping Jill Eikenberry references to him.
Let's him know he's an old school
Robert
fan.
Just put his head in his hands.
He probably hasn't heard that name in so long.
Oh, I'm sure he might like her and might have enjoyed hearing that.
Years.
But
I know,
like
I just,
the follow-up is like, oh, really? What would she like to
yeah,
drive around?
I go
like, what's
one
the follow-up?
Brockman
like, what
do you says it. I gotta go just with the one and then just stop.
And by
it's
the way,
hard,
when
I'm learning,
by the
so
way,
you
in,
are, Mike.
In college when I used to do stand-up, I had one of my bits was what and did involve people. People's Express, that airline. Do you remember People's Express? Or are you too young for
never
that?
Never heard of it.
Okay,
oh,
so
man.
There was an airline. There was. You remember this, right, TJ?
People's nah.
Okay, people. So you and I would know.
100%.
Maybe it was an East Coast thing too, because
like
Jimmy
Eastern.
Said he flew it from New York to Los Angeles. It was a low budget, airline where it was incredibly inexpensive, why it was called People's Express. It was like people who can't afford, you know, to buy tickets on the traditional airlines, like at the time, TWA, Eastern Airlines, Pan Am, right? Yeah. All those airlines that are now gone, but, you know, American, all of it. You would fly People's Express, and you would get your reservation, and they would not just go up and down the aisle. How, you know, they had a cart, they have a cart now for drinks or peanuts or whatever. I remember they would go up and down the aisle with a credit card machine, and not one of those that clearly that you would connect to it. It would, you know, they would run your card, and then you would write down the cost, and they would rip off the receipt and put
like
it
the
away.
The carbon copy thing.
I remember that.
Brockman, it was so true.
I remember that, and I always thought to myself, and I made it a bit, like, you know, what if you're like, yeah, I don't have my credit card on me, like, and you're at 35,000 feet.
My wallet.
You know, like, oh, I'm sorry, I don't have a parachute. You're like, what? Like, do they hand you a parachute?
Yeah, you gotta go.
Like, you're suddenly DB Cooper jumping out the back.
Nice.
Oh,
watch a great documentary on him.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's good.
I'm going way back here about
that. So this People's Express operated from April of 81 to February of 87.
Yeah.
Wow.
They
Sophomore year of my college, 87.
It was $149 each way across country.
I mean, that was like
New York to L.A. Please.
Round trip, right?
No, each way. Sodas were 50 cents. Beer was a dollar.
Yeah. And the cart also had a credit card machine on it. Yeah, it was
I mean, we're talking
the choice of airlines for people who blew their first LA law audition and needed to fly to LA to rectify it.
The colors of the
plane. Yeah, it was kind of like a dark gray with brown and black stripe.
Because Eastern was blue white.
It merged with Continental in 87.
People's Express.
I had never been on a flight, so I'd never even heard of this.
People's Express. I might have flown it to go back to school once or twice. All right, Jimmy Smits, great conversation. When we come back, Jeff Passan calls in from Arlington, Texas. He was in the building when Aaron Judge hit 62. We will talk about all of that with him. And my power rankings.
Hey!
Yes, coming up.
Yeah, so it flew to a ton of cities. Richard did fly to Detroit, so you probably took it to...
Yeah.
To go back to school.
Back to school. Yeah. Every now when it was either that or Northwest Orient, as it was known at the time.
Northwest.
Or when it was screwed up because they had some problems. We nicknamed it Northwest Disorient Airline. That's the Michigan humor, sir. See how we said Disorient, right?
I get it.
Did you get it?
I get it.
That wasn't one of the jokes I used.
Thank God.
In my stand-up bit. Just like a People's Express parachute.
Rich, pour one out for Cole Beasley, announced his retirement just now.
Wait, what?
Wow, the Chiefs retired him, huh?
Who fucks?
No, the Chiefs retired him.
Oh, the Chiefs retired him. Yeah,
he had one game.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's enough.
He was like, I'm good.
Actually, he said he wants to spend more time with his family.
Good for him. Why are you laughing about that?
Well, it's too soon.
Just kind of ironic.
Well, you know, the Bucks have a player who seemingly doesn't want to spend.
Oh, that's not true. Stop that, man.
I love it. I love the guy more than like a family member. Just saying.
You shouldn't say that.
Cole Beasley, but someone else.
Cole Beasley, one and done, huh? One game and finished. Call Jules.
Was it that bad?
Call Jules, man. Although not today, because, you know, it's the big YK.
Yeah, Jules said it's got to be at least like week 9, I think, for him.
I think call 87.
But yeah, 87 must be dialed.
Yeah. He needs Gronk.
That's a must, like every day.
He's got to get his weight up, though.
Yeah.
Ross Matthews talks to celebrities, friends, and people with interesting stories to tell. Who's saying hello, Ross, this week? Chelsea Handler.
I'm not home enough to have a third dog. My housekeeper basically is their parent. I'm not going to get another dog so that she has to take care of another dog until one of these dogs exits.
It's a good move. I have three rescue dogs and only two hands. And when you're one person, that's too hard to do. I recommend two max, okay?
Use your foot, Ross.
Hello, Ross. Available on YouTube or wherever you listen.